A bill before the Iowa legislature directs local governments to comply with federal immigration authorities or risk losing state funding. This hour, we talk about it. River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Today, IPR's Joyce Russell and I talk with lawmakers for and against so-called sanctuary city legislation. Also, perspectives from law enforcement and dreamers and from Iowa City Mayor Jim Throgmorton. Republican leaders have said the legislation is a direct response to a policy adopted in Iowa City that says the city will not commit local resources to enforcing federal immigration law. Discussion. First, this news.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Legislative Monday during the legislative session, we like to tap into one of the issues being debated in our Iowa legislature, as we're doing today. Ben Kiefer here with Joyce Russell, IPR State House correspondent. Good Monday morning to you, or Monday afternoon, hello. Just into the afternoon. Joyce, hello.
Hi, Ben.
Hi. We have a number of guests this hour as we're going to talk about so-called sanctuary city legislation. Legislation, more correctly, that directs local governments to comply with federal immigration authorities or risk losing state funding. Before we meet our lawmakers, Joyce, give us some background on this bill and where it is right now in the legislature.
Well, this bill was introduced in the Senate last year. Senator Julian Garrett was the author of the bill. It passed the Senate. It's now in the House. It attracted a large audience at a subcommittee meeting, a lot of people interested in this bill. And then it passed the Public Safety Committee in the House, and now it's available in time to meet last week's deadline. It's now available for debate in the full House.
Okay, let's hear from our lawmakers. Representative Steve Holt is with you there, Joyce, a Republican from Denison. Also, Representative Wes Breckenridge, a Democrat from Newton, importantly here. We'll be talking, getting law enforcement's perspective. Wes Breckenridge is also in the Newton Police Department, a lieutenant there. Representative Holt and Breckenridge, welcome to our program.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you very much.
Representative Holt, let's hear from you first of all. Why do we need this bill?
Well, it's about the rule of law and the safety of our communities. A sanctuary city policy fully enforced would allow a catch-and-release situation such as happened in Denver, Colorado, that led to the death of a gentleman named Timothy Cruz. So this bill is simply about traditional cooperation with immigration authorities to ensure the safety of everyone in our communities, including the immigrant population.
Mm-hmm. Do you have, in Iowa, examples of where communities have defied federal authorities in cooperating to the extent that they have in the past with ICE or other immigration authorities from the federal side?
Well, we certainly have a resolution in Iowa City that suggests that it could take place. Specifically, the resolution states, except as necessary for public safety, and here's the part that concerns me, as determined by the police chief or designee, or as otherwise required by state federal law, the Iowa City Police Department shall not undertake any law enforcement action for the purpose of detecting the presence of undocumented persons. So my concern is the discretion of the police chief means that, in fact, a sanctuary city policy of catch and release could take place, because if you have someone that's been arrested, and this bill, under our legislation, you have to be in custody before it applies. It doesn't apply to routine traffic stops. So if you are arrested, and in fact, the police chief under this resolution determines that he doesn't want to report that information up to immigration authorities, then you can indeed have a catch-and-release situation that has led to the death of citizens in various parts of our country.
Mm-hmm. Does this affect any other communities besides Iowa City, if you interpret the words you quoted from Iowa City that way?
I certainly would say that there are a couple of communities that are making noises in that direction. This bill, I think, is about prevention. We certainly don't want a city in Iowa to become San Francisco or, Denver, where a catch-and-release policy has led to the death of citizens. So an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and we do have some some cities and entities that are suggesting or making noises in this direction.
Okay. Just a program note, we will have the mayor of Iowa City join us in a few minutes' time. Representative Breckenridge, you are not in favor of this bill. Explain why.
I should correct one thing. I'm a retired lieutenant with the Newton Police Department.
Retired. Forgive me. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. 27 years law enforcement, still very involved within the law enforcement community. And I am supportive of legislation that can help make our community safer. And I think that's the key point that we need to keep in mind here. And as we look at this piece of legislation before us now, Senate File 481, I believe that it's taking the wrong approach to make our community safer. I applaud anyone that will work with law enforcement community, work with the cities to develop that legislation to make our communities safer. I think a couple things that kind of get lost with regards to that Iowa City policy that was put into place, I think if you read it, it also indicates that they have to follow all federal and state laws that are in effect. And I've had the opportunity to visit with Chief Matherly from Iowa City, and he indicates that he follows all state and federal laws and that they do not do anything different prior to this policy being put place in Iowa City to today. They do the same thing they've done from then till now, and they've actually seen a reduction in crime.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying, Representative Breckenridge, this is a solution in seeking a problem, as they say here. There is no problem as far as you can see, and Representative Holt will respond. But is that the way you would sum it up, Representative Breckenridge?
Yeah, currently we don't have a city that is classified as a sanctuary city per the federal government in the state of Iowa. And I do respect the idea of being proactive and looking for ways that we can continue to make our community safer. I would suggest that that's where we reach out to those that perform that job and what that strategic planning can be and give them the tools and resources instead of coming after them, say, hey, we'll take your state funding if you don't toe the line. And I would like to look at that positive approach and reach out to those stakeholders to help guide them and get them the resources to make our community safer.
Mm-hmm. Representative Holt?
Well, I would I certainly agree with Representative Breckenridge in terms of looking for opportunities to make our community safer, and I believe this legislation does, in fact, do that. You know, if, in fact, nothing has changed in Iowa City, then it begs the question, why was this resolution necessary? What was the point and intent of this resolution if, in fact, nothing is going to change?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Join our conversation as we talk about legislation before the Iowa, passed the House, as Joyce just mentioned there, directing local governments to comply with federal immigration authorities or risk losing state funding. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. You can also email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Stakeholders was a term it was just used. We'd like to hear from all stakeholders. I think every Iowan is a stakeholder here, but perhaps you have a specific angle on the immigration policy in our country. 1-866-780-9100. As I mentioned, we'll hear from the mayor of Iowa City in just a few minutes. But let's go to Storm Lake, the police department chief there, also diversity officer. Mark Prosser joins us by phone. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Chief Prosser. For those not acquainted, I've been through Storm Lake, enjoyed it on a recent RAGBRAI, in fact. You have a tremendous diversity there in Storm Lake, which has grown up over the last few years. Did I read correctly, something like 30 languages spoken in town?
Yes, sir. Our diverse populations have really changed our community, helped it grow, and brought a youth and a vibrancy here that's second to none. We have in the vicinity of 30 different languages spoken in the community. Our community school district is about 83.7% non-Caucasian with around 20 languages spoken. And so it has completely changed our community and really helped us grow and reinvent ourselves in a very positive fashion.
Mm-hmm. So what is, from your view as a police department chief there in Storm Lake, what is your view of this bill?
Well, Storm Lake is one of a handful of communities in Iowa that deal with shifting demographics and the issue of immigration and so on every day. For most of our communities, it's out of sight and out of mind. And I would just echo the comments already made that this is not a problem in Iowa. I am unaware of any law enforcement agency at any level in our state that does not appropriately cooperate with our federal partners day in and day out. I know we do, and I know that, all the other agencies do. We just have a good relationship, and we rely on each other. This bill, as submitted, to, in my opinion, has a variety of challenges. It challenges the whole issue of local control. It dictates that agencies should or should not be creating policies as it applies to their normal operations. It talks about discrimination, but it leads you down a road of implied discrimination as to who you may be or who you may not be further questioning or inquiring on their immigration status. I think one of the clear issues about this bill is it impacts and brings into the spotlight immigration law, and local law enforcement should not be involved in immigration enforcement. I'm not aware of any agencies in Iowa that have the appropriate resources, the appropriate training, and the appropriate funding to deal with these federal types of issues that we're clear on are a mess at the federal level and need to be fixed at a federal level, and we should leave it to our federal elected officials to deal with that. And finally, it is a law that impacts relationships. And one of the big challenges and one of the big missions and at the same time one of the big criticisms of local law enforcement as we look at different types of issues across our country is their relationship with the people they police. And having a law like this, whether it has direct impact or indirect impact, greatly impacts and affects our immigrant communities to the point where they don't trust their local law enforcement because they believe we're going to be involved in more immigration enforcement and immigration issues, and it pulls them back into the shadows when we're trying to work day in and day out in creating relationships and bringing them forward to be our eyes and our ears like we ask all of our citizens to be and have that effective relationship that goes towards the true crime prevention in each community. Storm Lake becomes more diverse. If you look at our school records, about 1-3% per year, more diversity and a continued shift in our ethnicity. And at the same time, we are sporting all-time lows in the last 10 years in serious crime and a reduction last year of 15% in our serious crime categories. And I attribute to that to improved relations and outreach with our many different populations to call Storm Lake home.
Chief Prosser, on that point, do immigrant groups represent proportionally any more crime than Caucasian groups?
We have shown no disproportionate representation in any of our ethnic groups, and we've tracked it and reported it publicly since the early 1990s. We've never had a year, ever, that there's been a disproportionate percentage of any ethnic group involved in criminal activity. That's a myth that occurs, and in our community, you know, 1.5% of all of our people are the reason you have police, and 99% are good, hardworking people, and it doesn't matter what ethnic group it is.
Mm-hmm. We want to go to our phones, but perhaps a chance for Representative Holt here as a backer of this bill to respond. There we have a police chief from one of the most diverse communities in Iowa, Representative Holt. How do you respond to his criticism of your proposal here, the proposal you back?
Right. Well, first of all, I have also heard from a number of law enforcement personnel who are supportive of our efforts. Let me make that clear. I hear from folks that are in law enforcement that are opposed to this. And on the one hand, they will say that it's not needed because everyone's cooperating. But then on the other hand, they will say, well, you know, if you do this, things are going to get really bad and we're going to have to do the job of ICE. So, you know, it can't be both. Of those things. The rule of law matters, and equal application of the law across the spectrum is what makes our community safe. And that's what this is about, equal application of the law. And this is not in any way requiring our local law enforcement to do the job of ICE. This is about traditional cooperation. And let me give you an example. You know, as I said, somebody has to be in custody. They have to be under arrest, which means beyond their immigration status, they've committed a crime that would put other citizens in jeopardy. Maybe it's a drunk driving charge, whatever it may be. So then what traditionally takes place is that information is shared up with federal authorities. And then if that information is shared with ICE and ICE is required to establish probable cause in the issuing of a detainer request, then they make that determination based on probable cause that that individual is not in our country legally, then they issue a detainer request. Their own policy requires that they do their best to get there and pick up that individual before the state charge time would expire for that individual to be incarcerated. But in no case will it be more than 48 hours after the time has expired that the person would otherwise be released. The Mendoza case right here in the Eighth Circuit supports that law enforcement, local law enforcement, may reasonably rely on an ICE detainer request because it is based upon probable cause.
We're getting so down that, just to make it clear, though, these are all things that local law enforcement was doing beforehand. I guess the key question, and to make sure we don't get too far down into the weeds, I am not hearing anything from any of the guests that says, let me say this, Representative Holt, does this ask local law enforcement to do anything than they were more than they were doing to prior to this bill, should it be passed?
Unless the police chief in Iowa City follows and makes a determination based upon the authority that he's been given, as determined by the police chief, which is what the resolution says, not to cooperate or not to share that information. I think that it is and could be a problem. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Representative Breckenridge, you had a response to that?
I just clarify a couple things with regards to the Mendoza case. I think one of the things with that's one ruling in that case with specific facts. Any other case that comes forward can change what that case may be. And so that's one of the concerns we have. And I think if we were to reach out to all law enforcement that deal with this on a regular basis and visit with them about the detainer request forms and some of the challenges that they faced with staffing from the federal level, being able to communicate and get that information, we need a better process to help our law enforcement so they don't feel like that they're struggling to meet that need and to meet those requirements when the federal government is slow to respond and makes it more challenging for local law enforcement to do their job. And I would say that the rule of law is very important. And if we follow the rule of law, we're not agents of the federal government and should not act as agents of the federal government. And when you look at the detainer request form, it's an administrative law that's signed by a police officer, if you will, or an agent of the federal government, not a judge or a magistrate that's giving a court order or arrest warrant for that individual. So it still places all of our law enforcement communities at risk, even with the Mendoza case. There's specific facts with that. And so from that standpoint, I can understand law enforcement's fear and concern and confusion with, okay, we've tried to comply with the detainer request and it's met with challenges with the federal government. Now you're wanting us and mandating us to do that, which we would, you know, love to be able to work with you on this, but we've run into these challenges. That's where we need to bring the stakeholders in and have these conversations and not just push out legislation that isn't vetted well and takes into consideration all the challenges faced.
Before we go to our callers, a quick follow-up question for Police Chief Mark Prosser of Storm Lake. Representative Holt said that he knows law enforcement that would back this bill, even though you do not. Do you have any data that shows the degree to which law enforcement does or does not back what the legislature is proposing?
I don't have data specific to the agency by agency, but I think you can look as to who opposes this bill and who doesn't. And a variety of law enforcement agencies, from sheriff's associations to the police chiefs association, county attorneys, faith-based organizations and such, all oppose this bill with very little support on the other side, because these are the individuals who are the practitioners and the individuals who are in the trenches working day in and day out with our populations and can see the harm that even the conversation about this bill can do to the psyche of our immigrant populations.
Chief Prosser, we've got some disagreement with what you're saying. Representative Holt?
Yeah, as a result of the amendment that we put forward, actually the Iowa Sheriffs and Deputies Association have moved to undecided, as have the county attorneys. And I've had great conversations with them regarding the Mendoza case. And as a result of the amendment that we did, they are now in the undecided category. They are not opposed.
Representative Breckenridge?
Yeah, and I guess I've had conversations with them also, being in the law enforcement field recently. And one of the things that moved to the undecided was more of the liability, the legality, and potential lawsuits. Once this piece of legislation or this amendment was put, it lessened the risk, which allowed them to move to undecided. I don't think that we can say that means that they support this piece of legislation. That just means that it doesn't have that financial risk potentially for the cities and counties. I would argue that it still does.
We have a few minutes before we go to break. Let's try to squeeze in a call or two. Lots of interest from our listeners. 1-866-780-9100. Email rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Laura, thank you for waiting, calling from Des Moines. We're coming up on a break, but we're glad to have you. Please, what's your question? Laura, are you there in Des Moines? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. My cheek was touching the mute button, and I'll make it short. I know you're going on a break.
You're fine.
Mr. Holt asked earlier, you know, why this resolution was passed, and it wasn't passed for him. It wasn't passed for people that are here, born here as citizens and white people. It was passed to let people of color and immigrants know that their law enforcement stands behind them. Good policing means you have good communication and good relationships with the people in your community. It blows me away that you will not listen, Mr. Holt, to your police officers. They are the ones that are on the streets. They are the ones that are in danger. You need to listen to them. And I will make it a priority today to call those two organizations that you say are now undecided. And I will try to tell them how I feel about it and how many people in this community do, not just in Des Moines, not just Iowa City and Storm Lake, but all over Iowa. The problem is not our immigrants. And you're wasting my tax dollars, basically. So I want to know, why won't you listen to your own law enforcement?
Laura in Des Moines, thank you for the question. Representative Holt.
Well, I do indeed listen to law enforcement, and I do listen to the voices of the citizens who are concerned about the safety in their communities. And as I said, this is about the safety of everyone in our communities, both in the immigrant population and citizens, because when you have a catch-and-release policy that is possible under a sanctuary city, you have things like the death of Timothy Cruz in Denver, Colorado, directly related to a catch-and-release policy of a sanctuary city. You could have a situation such as occurred with Sarah Root, who was killed by a drunk driving, drag racing individual who was not here legally. So it is about the safety of our communities, and it is about the rule of law. It has nothing to do with race.
Mm-hmm. Matt in Davenport, if we can sneak in his email before we go to break. This has to be a quick response. I heard the speaker say that they could check on the status of a person only after being arrested. Does being detained count as a reason to check immigration status? If I'm stopped by an officer in Iowa and I don't have an ID, I heard I could be detained just for not having an ID. Is this true? Is it a loophole to the above rule? To our police chief, Mark Prosser.
Well, you know, it depends on the scenario, but if you're stopped and detained by an officer who's investigating criminal activity or suspicious activity, certainly they have the right to identify you. And in many cases, if an individual is wanted by ICE, you will get a notification for criminal offense. You'll get a notification by running them from name and date of birth. And then if an individual is taken into custody, you can get further documentation by running their fingerprints. And that's kind of what triggers a lot of the data return or the request. It's not a matter that we're calling back and forth. It's the matter that we're running these individuals via a computer database or a fingerprint database, and that's triggering the communication.
Okay, Police Chief Mark Prosser with us of Storm Lake, also diversity officer there. We'll come back with Chief Prosser as well as Representatives Wes Breckenridge of Newton and Representative Holt of Denison. Ben Kiefer with Iowa Public Radio. State House correspondent Joyce Russell. When we come back, we'll hear from the mayor of Iowa City. Also, we'll hear from the president of Dream Iowa when we return. Lots of input. We hope you'll join our conversation. 1-866-780-9100. Email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Ben Kiefer back with more in just a moment.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer with IPR's State House correspondent Joyce Russell at the State House Law Library with a couple of lawmakers. We're talking about legislation that passed the Iowa House directing local governments to comply with federal immigration authorities or risk losing state
funding. We've been discussing about that in the first half hour. It's so-called sanctuary cities, though no sanctuary cities legislation, though, to be clear, no cities in Iowa have declared themselves sanctuary cities, as have other cities in the U.S. For instance, Chicago is one of it, and many others. If you'd like to join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. We have a lot of input here, just to go through our guests as well. Make sure our new listeners are reminded. We have Representative Steve Holt, a Republican from Denison, backer of this bill, with us, as well as Representative Wes Breckenridge of Newton, a Democrat, also retired lieutenant in the Newton Police Department, I think that's we had to say goodbye to Mark Prosser, the Storm Lake Police Department chief and diversity officer there as well. But now we're joined by Senator Garrett, Senator Julian Garrett of Indianola, a Republican, actually the author of this bill. Welcome to our program.
Thank you very much.
This is a bill modeled after a law in Texas. Tell us quickly. We do have a lot of input, so please be brief. The origins of this law and why you feel it is necessary for Iowa at this time.
Well, there have been evidence over the recent years that different counties have not cooperated with ICE. That's in dispute. You get a lot of debate on that, but I have seen information from the federal government indicating that over the recent years that that's been the case. Texas has passed a law similar to this. It's actually much tougher than our law, and by the way, was just upheld, at least on a temporary basis, by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. So it looks like that's going to stand. I wanted to comment on the Mendoza case, the Eighth Circuit. Representative Breckenridge kind of sloughed that off. That is a very, very important case. The circuit courts are the courts just below the U.S. Supreme Court, so that ruling is law here in Iowa unless the U.S. Supreme Court would take a different position. And what it says is it is constitutional and legal for ICE, the federal immigration authorities, to issue detainers to local law enforcement. Local law enforcement should rely on ICE that they have probable cause when they issue a detainer and should cooperate with them. It's not up to the local authorities. They don't have to determine whether or not there's probable cause. There's a lot of discussion about that issue, but this case makes it clear that what we're doing in this bill is legal, it is constitutional, and so I just want to make that clear.
Is it asking local law enforcement to do more than they were obligated to do prior to this time?
Well, that's part of the debate. It's interesting, the debate takes, and Representative Holt kind of brought this out, but I want to emphasize it. On the one hand, they say, oh, this bill isn't necessary because we're already cooperating. On the other hand, they point out how, oh, this is a tremendous hardship on us, and we don't have the time and resources to enforce these laws. They take very contradictory positions. And another place where the opponents are not clear, this does not apply, this bill, to anyone unless they're already in custody, they've already been arrested for some other crime, and it doesn't apply to just people out on the street, and you get some confusion, I think, on that point, and it tends to unnecessarily scare the immigrant population. So if you're not here illegally, and if you haven't been arrested, this bill has no impact on you at all.
Senator Garrett of Indianola with us. Let's invite another guest in. Iowa City Mayor Jim Throckmorton is with us in our Iowa City studio. Welcome to you, Mayor Throckmorton.
Hi, Ben. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about, you were here listening to the first half hour. Respond to that, specifically the clause that seems to have ignited this legislation, at least when we listen to Representative Holt, that you have in Iowa City some intentions of doing something different regarding working with federal immigration authorities.
I want to make a quick comment about anything pertaining to detainer requests. Iowa City government does not have anything to do with the detainer request. That is handled by the county sheriff here in the Iowa City area. So that's our resolution has really nothing to do with that at all. Beyond that, let me say this. Iowa City is not a sanctuary city, not even by Attorney General Jeff Sessions' definition. We are not a sanctuary city. What we are is a very diverse community, and we are and seek to continue to be a safe and welcoming community. And the police and elected leadership of the city are committed to using our intimate knowledge of the community to make sure our city is safe for all of our residents. Proponents of Senate File 481 have drawn a great deal of attention to the resolution we adopted about a year ago. We crafted that resolution very carefully. It reaffirms the public safety function of local law enforcement. We wanted to do two things with that resolution. We wanted to ensure that all members of the Iowa City community would, regardless of immigrant status, feel comfortable and safe in communicating with law enforcement officials about crimes they observe or have committed against them. Simultaneously, we wanted to reaffirm that it has long been standard practice for our police department to focus its resources on the local public safety function, not on enforcing the federal government's civil immigration laws, except as necessary for public safety or otherwise required by federal law. I could say something else about that because I think it's important to know exactly how we specified what the resolution does not do. And I think it's really crucial. In fact, it would make sense to me is if the state government would adopt our resolution as legislation for the state as a whole.
Mm-hmm. So you see really that you have no disagreement with cooperating with federal authorities to the extent that you have now and as described here.
Well, definitely not. So what I mean is the claim that that our resolution violates federal law or there's something really bad about it overlooks or disregards certain key parts of our resolution. The resolution explicitly states that, and I'm going to give, there are four things I'm going to point to here, but probably won't go into all of them in detail. It explicitly states that it does not prohibit or in any way restrict any official or employee of the City of Iowa City from sending to or receiving from ICE information regarding the citizenship or immigration status, lawful or unlawful, or any individual. Mm-hmm. And secondly, it says it does not affect or limit the enforcement of federal immigration law by federal authorities within the City of Iowa City. And the third has to do with the ICE's priority enforcement program. We send fingerprints to ICE as required by federal law whenever someone's detained. No, it's the wrong word, isn't it? Well, sorry.
Anyway, let's go to Steve Holt here, too. It sounds like, as carefully crafted language from the mayor, he says, so what part of that is not in full cooperation with the authorities as it has been up to this point? I hear from the mayor, perhaps you or otherwise, I hear no intention of swaying from the path of full cooperation to the extent they have in the past.
Well, then the question becomes, and the part that the mayor left off reading is the part that concerns me deeply, which is except as necessary for public safety, here comes the catch, as determined by the police chief or designee. I think that gives the police chief a great deal of discretion in terms of determining, what he will and will not enforce or will and will not cooperate with. One other point I'd like to make clear on here is this bill has nothing to do with what a city calls itself. A city can call itself a sanctuary city. They can call themselves a welcoming city. It doesn't matter. The point this is getting to is policy, which would prevent the cooperation with immigration authorities that could lead to an unsafe situation in our communities, be it the immigrant population or our citizens. And most certainly, if any law enforcement agency arrests someone and they do not share that information with federal authorities, as is the traditional path, then that law enforcement agency is, I think, putting their community at risk by not sharing that information. Why in the world would an agency that has arrested someone not want to know all the information that could be at their disposal by cooperating with federal authorities? And that really, very simply, is what this legislation is about.
Do you ever... Breckenridge?
I guess I would disagree. I think every law enforcement agency does follow state and federal law to the letter. And from that perspective, you're insinuating that our law enforcement leaders in the state of Iowa would not adhere to that. And I would totally disagree with that and tell you that they do uphold the law and they will adhere to all federal and state laws. And I think part of what we run into is some of the dynamics involved with the detainer request, the response we receive from the federal government, the response we receive from our community. Part of what we need to do is reach out to those stakeholders and bring them in. But I have no questions that our local law enforcement leaders are following all state and federal laws.
I think Mayor Throgmorton of Iowa City wanted to jump in here with a comment. Mayor?
With respect, I think Representative Holt raises a red herring with regard to his point about the discretion of the police chief. Our resolution reads as follows: except as necessary for public safety as determined by the police chief or designee, or as otherwise required by state or federal law. And then it goes on to say, this resolution addresses the discretionary use of legal city resources and does not. And that's where I get into those four specific points about how we will comply with state law, so and federal law, state and federal law. So he raises that red herring there. And we share all fingerprints of arrestees with ICE, and that's one of the things that is noted in the resolution as well. I want to say introduce a different way of thinking about this. We strongly believe that Senate File 481 is unnecessary, misguided, and potentially unconstitutional. I'll be brief about this. It's unnecessary because it's based on the incorrect presumptions that violent crime is increasing and that all undocumented Hispanic Latino residents are dangerous criminals. It's misguided because it would make Iowa's cities less safe for all their residents. And it's potentially unconstitutional largely because a lot of these issues are being contested in courts all around the country. We know this is headed through the circuit courts to the Supreme Court, and therefore it just doesn't make any sense to adopt legislation that is unnecessary and misguided until at some point in time the Supreme Court renders a decision.
Senator Garrett?
Well, the law is constitutional as the law stands now, as I mentioned a while ago. We have a Eighth Circuit, which is a very high court. It is just below the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Fifth Circuit down in considering the Texas law have both said that this process is legal, it is constitutional, doesn't violate the Constitution. It just continues to amaze me that the people that are opposing this law so vehemently, and yet they want us to believe that everybody's already doing what this law would require. If that was the case, I don't think we'd have this vehement opposition that we're seeing. And again, we're not talking about even all illegal immigrants in a particular town. We're talking about the few who are in custody for having committed a crime. Maybe they've been found guilty. At least they're in custody. That's the only people that this bill applies to. It doesn't apply to people out on the street, even if they might be in the country illegally. That's a different subject. That isn't what this bill is addressing.
Senator Garrett of Indianola, we have one more guest I'd like to make sure. There's so much input on this hour. We want to make sure we hear from one last guest, Monica Reyes, Dream Iowa president. Monica, we have very short a time. We wanted to get to a caller or two and have our guests wrap up with their final remarks here. Tell us, what is Dream of Iowa? Who do you represent? What is your take on this bill?
Hi, thank you for the invitation to be part of this conversation. So Dream Iowa is an organization in support of immigrants in the state of Iowa. My sister and I co-founded it in 2012, and I myself am an undocumented immigrant. I am under the protection of DACA, which is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It basically protects me from deportation hand-in-hand with a work permit. I am a mortgage lender here in the Des Moines area, but I grew up in Northeast Iowa in a town called New Hampton. And I've been hearing a lot of concerns from both sides, from people that are not immigrants, from people that are immigrants, from all walks of life. And I think that this legislation, this bill, is focusing on a solution for a problem that does not exist. And it is punishing communities like Iowa City that have actually seen a decrease in crime. And if you look at research, research actually shows, and this is research done by universities with an internal review board, that shows that immigrants have a negative correlation with crime, meaning the more immigrants you have in a community, the less crime you see. So, and then I've also heard equal application of law, and how something I want to mention is this legislation actually does encourage racial profiling. I grew up in a small town of New Hampton where we saw one a similar case of this, where when you're undocumented and you are driving without a driver's license and you get pulled over, maybe the first time you're not arrested, but the second time you can be, for something as simple as driving without a driver's license. This can be on your way to work. This can be on your way to pick up your kids from school. This can be on your way to get groceries. I know that it is carefully written so that it has to be once you're detained, but I'm just trying to give you an example of how something that is not criminal can be enough reason for law enforcement to detain someone. And this cooperation already exists. This is actually, to me, I see this as a direct challenge to our honorable law enforcement. I am confident that they are fulfilling their duty to protect all Iowans, and this legislation is a direct challenge to their efforts and all the hard work that they've been doing here. And I also believe it's a strategic stunt to feed off of the fear to drive voters, and I understand that. And this legislation is not in the interest of Iowa safety, but more trying to get more votes. And there aren't any concrete facts here. There isn't any reason already existing for why we need to pass on some sort of legislation. The only support that there is out there is from the Minutemen. Think about that. Those are the people that are supporting this.
We have literally just a couple minutes left. Yeah, Monica, very quickly.
Natural law is to keep families together. This one would be the destructive law separating families here in Iowa.
We have about two minutes left here. I don't know, Joyce. Yeah, go ahead. I wanted to make sure we heard final remarks from our guests.
Well, I think Monica's remark there that this is to get votes or that there's political motives for this deserves a response. Governor Reynolds is actually raising money on this issue, saying that Iowa City and Des Moines Public Schools also has a policy of some kind, that they are, I think she used the term, ultra-liberal. Anyway, she's raising money on this issue. Representative Holt, is this a direct response to what your constituents want? And what do you say to that you're just trying to raise money or get votes on this?
Well, there's so many points that Monica made that in some ways actually make our point. No, this isn't about raising money in any way whatsoever. This is about prevention, because we do have entities. You mentioned Des Moines schools. We've seen the resolution in Iowa City. You know, if this is allowed to go unchecked, and we do have a situation coming where we could have a San Francisco-type situation, I would argue that driving without a driver's license is a very serious crime. I was struck in the rear 2 years ago by someone without a license and without insurance. And I think that is a serious crime. And so when you're talking about arresting someone and not sharing that information with immigration authorities, you are putting your community at risk. This is not about racism. There's nothing in this bill about racism. It is about the rule of law.
Representative Holt, Mayor Throckmorton wanted to get in here. We're running out of time. Mayor of Iowa City?
Yeah, if I could, I would encourage and ask Representative Holt and Senator Garrett to read the last half of our resolution carefully. We are complying with federal law, and there's no reason for you to be adopting this legislation if you're trying to target Iowa City or trying to draw attention to something we've done wrong by adopting this resolution. Please read the last half of the resolution. I also want to say that expanding the purview of local police to include the enforcement of federal immigration law will undermine public safety by eroding the public trust and confidence in local law enforcement. We can't let that perception that our local police are enforcing federal immigration law be out there that will scare our residents, that will undermine public safety.
We have a few seconds left. Representative Holt or Senator Garrett, please, we have 30 seconds left.
I legislate on reality, not perceptions, and I have read the entire resolution.
Well, I think the general public does support this bill. There's been discussion, who supports it? Well, the general public does. Polls have shown that. I've had very positive response from the people in my area on this bill. Almost no opposition from my district. Now, there's opposition from other areas. But the important point to keep in mind is these are people who have been arrested. If our local officials are refusing to cooperate to turn them over to ICE, they're doing a disservice to their communities. And
Senator Garrett, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you very much. A lively discussion this hour. Senator Garrett of Indianola, Representatives Steve Holt and Wes Breckenridge. Monica Reyes, thank you for joining us. And Iowa City Mayor Jim Throgmorton, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you, Ben.
Ben Kiefer with Iowa Public Radio State House correspondent Joyce Russell. Back next Monday with another legislative edition of River to River. Produced by Emily Woodbury, Ben Stanton, and Lindsay Moon, with help from Natalia Reyes. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.